All right. Since I'm here for a visit this week, I figured it was due to do another lesson with the series we're doing on Mike's book, The Story of His Conversion, things I've been taught from the Bible that are not true, or as we lovingly refer to it, to his tibetant. We are still giving away these booklets all around the world, like I told you all before, but anybody watching on the internet can have either or both of these books for free, Jesus Wasn't Talking to You, and or Things I've Been Taught from the Bible that are not true. We just need a mailing address, snail mail. I still get emails every week from people that say, please send a copy of the book to johnsmith@gmail.com. And can't do that. Gotta have a physical copy. But this is the story of how Mike became what he is today, his own personal story. He was raised in a denominational church and no longer attends there. And how did that happen and why? And what did he see in the Bible that changed him from a denominational person to a grace believer? Last time we looked at, he said on page 13, he says, an enjoyable Bible study to see the uniqueness of Paul is to make a comparison of Peter and Paul in their education, their commission, their message, and their audience. And since we know that most people who read Mike's book will never do that, that's what we did last time. We did the study and we made the comparison, and we saw how many big differences and distinctions there were between Peter and Paul just on three topics that we looked at. And it was huge, and we look at him and say, how could I be in church my whole life and never see this? How did I never notice this? Well, because the church you were at never noticed it. That's why. And they were teaching you, and you were paying them for it, unfortunately. Been there, done that, got the T-shirt, me too. But these things must be rightly divided, and we're going to pick up this week on the bottom of page 14 in Mike's book. And Mike addresses something here, and this is good, especially in light of Jim's messages the past 2 weeks, where he clearly and unabashedly said over and over again, Paul, 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 Paul.
Amen.
Amen. But Mike addresses the common criticism that comes from that. He says, we are not trying to put Paul above our risen Lord, but to emphasize his uniqueness and leadership role in the dispensation of grace. Most people don't know what the dispensation of grace is. You realize that? What is that? Are you alive? Uh-huh. You're in the dispensation of God's grace. It's a dispensation that's been in effect for quite a long time now. He says, leadership role in the dispensation of grace and the church, the body of Christ. Most people don't know what that is either. What is the church, the body of Christ? Are you saved? Have you believed the gospel? Uh-huh. Well, you're in it. You're in the church, the body of Christ. It's a new creature that was not prophesied in times past. It's part of the mystery that Christ revealed to us through Paul, that God is going to have control of heavenly places with a new creation, the church, the body of Christ, as well as have control on the earth in Israel's kingdom. Oh, most people don't know that. Paul's uniqueness, listen to what Mike says here. This is what we're going to blast off on this week. Paul's uniqueness is similar to the way Moses had a special place in the dispensation of law and to the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness. Yeah, that's what Israel was called when they were out there with Charlton Heston in the wilderness for all those years. The church in... I saw the movie, right? But you hear the comment, and if you're... Well, I'll get to that in a second, but you say Paul's the apostle. It's about Paul. Paul has your doctrine. Paul this, Paul that. Paul, 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 Paul. What do you hear back from your friends and family?
I follow Jesus, not Paul. That's all you ever hear at that church. Paul, Paul, Paul. I don't know what's wrong with those people. I think they even pray to Paul. That's what I heard. I think they have a statue of Paul somewhere that they all worship or something. All you ever talk about is Paul. Can those people go one Sunday without talking about Paul, 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 Paul?
No.
But it all comes back to, it's what you said, you know, I follow Jesus, not Paul. But it comes back to, you people make too much of Paul. That's what you can distill it all down into. That is what I want to use the concept Mike brought up in his book to address this week. You people make too much of Paul. Because this is the way it works is you spend all your years trudging around in your denomination. Some grace believer comes to you, shows you a few things, light bulbs come on. Oh my goodness. I've collected all these dots for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and now in 5 minutes you've connected them. Now I know why. Now I know why Jesus said this. Now I know why that Paul said that and Peter said this, and everything starts making sense, and you're happy, and you're floating 6 inches off the ground. And then you dare. You have the temerity to tell someone about what you're learning.
Yeah.
And what do you get back?
You people make too much pop. Pop, 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 pop.
That's what you get back. That's the return. That's the feedback. But what happens to the excited, new, learning, grace believer over time after you do that once, twice, 20 times, 30 times?
Anyway, so you meant too much Paul. I follow Jesus, not Paul. I don't know what you're talking about. My pastor says you're a cult.
What happens to you as an ambassador over time? Right. You get knocked down. You know the person's wrong, but you're just not going to talk to them about it anymore. And then eventually, after so many times, and if you want to get to the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, you eventually stop talking to anybody about it. Because you know from experience they don't want to hear it and they're going to say bad things about you. So what happens is it goes from excitement in truth, excitement in learning, excitement in finally understanding the gospel and having clarity of the gospel and assurance of your salvation, to a person who never tells anybody about it because you're ashamed. That's what happens practically. This is not a new phenomenon to be ashamed of being Pauline in your doctrine in a world that rejects that concept. Timothy apparently had that problem because Paul was constantly telling him, don't be ashamed of me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 8, he tells Timothy, be not thou for ashamed of what? Of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the blessings and wonder. No, that's not what it says. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Why in the world do you suppose this verse is in the Bible? He was in jail. Why is this verse in the Bible? Because God knows us, and He knows what happens when you receive the afflictions of the gospel over and over and over again. You start to become ashamed. And this is the biggest killer of grace ministries. Your grace ministries just become a little echo chamber where we all believe the same thing and we get together once a week and we all talk about how we believe the same thing and then we never say a word about it to anybody ever because we're ashamed. It happens. Look over, or look farther down, look at verse 15. It's not new for people to reject Pauline doctrine. Look what he tells Timmy here. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. He lost a continent in his own lifetime. Wow. of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. But one guy got it right. Look at verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. I get emails pretty regularly, I would say every week, from different countries in the world. Say, Pastor, you don't understand how bad it is in our country. The church is in our country. And then what they list off? Oh, that's exactly how it is in America. Really? Uganda, you have those problems? Yeah, it's the same in America. Really? Nigeria? Yeah, same in America. All of America, all of the world has turned away from being Pauline in their doctrine. And the precious few people who know Paul as their apostle and knows what the gospel is are ashamed to tell anybody about it. So I understand. But that's what happens. This is what happens. I will say here and now to the internet and the world, I am not ashamed that this is a Pauline church. We get our doctrine from our Apostle Paul. We get our gospel from the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ gave him my instructions and your instructions for our Christian life.
Amen.
I thought you were getting mad at me for a second.
That's an amen moment.
We're not ashamed. We know what the truth is.
Yep.
Paul's got it. I didn't pick him. Christ did. I just finally figured it out after 2.5 decades on this world.
Yep.
But why am I not ashamed of that fact?
Because it's the truth.
Because my Bible tells me so. Look over, please, at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, well, that's everybody on YouTube. Everybody who's ever sent me a nasty gram, they all know that they're a prophet and they're a spiritual and I'm an idiot. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write, who's talking?
Paul.
Can you people go 1 second without saying Paul?
Nope.
Good truth. The things that Paul writes unto you are suggestions of spiritual living. No. Okay. Commandments of who?
The Lord.
They're not commandments of Paul. That's wrong in other places too. The commandments of the Lord. Paul's writings is God saying, hey, Steve, here's your instructions. That's what that verse says. Look at, go back 10 chapters to chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Yeah, chapter 4 and verse, let's start at verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of Jesus in the red letters. He doesn't say that. I follow Jesus, you follow Paul. Well, my Bible tells me I'm supposed to follow Paul. What do you have to say to that? For this cause, look what he says next. He says, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause, for what cause? To make you people follow me. That's the cause. He tells the Corinthians, for this cause, I've sent Timmy.
Dang.
And what's Timmy going to do? My beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of Israel's program in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
No.
In remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, either Paul is the biggest egomaniac Napoleon complex apostle that Christ ever picked, or he's the pattern. That's the two options. If Paul's just, as all of our denominational friends will tell us, he's just another apostle, he had nothing special, just nothing to see here, nothing new. If that's the case, then Paul's the biggest egomaniac and Napoleon complex I've ever seen. But if he was unique, if he was given a unique position, unique authority, if Christ did dispense to him something new, a specific message, then Paul's exactly right to write this verse and to send Timothy to get these people into shape and get them back following Paul. I'm going to go with the latter. So God, Christ, gives Paul this position and authority and message to give to us. The question you need to ask yourself is, why is this concept so off-putting to the average church-going person? You know, I say these things in this church, and amen, hallelujah, and somebody clapped a minute ago. What about when you're at lunch with your Church of Christ friend, or your Baptist, or your Methodist relative? Why is something like that so off-putting to them, that God would invest so much in one guy? You ever think about that? You ever put yourself in somebody else's shoes? If you think about it, go back to your own experience. Every message you've ever heard is out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, you may stray somewhere for a half a verse here or a half a verse there, but pretty much every Sunday sermon here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's your warm and fuzzy place. And now somebody's saying, hey, that's not your pattern. You need to follow this boring Paul guy who all he does is talk about doctrine, no miracles. Come on. Come on, man. We went from, yes, we can, to, come on, man. But most of their church experience comes from looking at doctrine from the end of Israel's Old Testament, which is what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. They're there with Jesus. I mean, the actual Jesus walking around, picks 12 guys. Nobody's particularly special here or there. You know, Peter's bullheaded enough to where he gets himself in trouble and runs his mouth, but that's what you're used to. That there's no real special apostle. They all have the same message. Jesus is the star of the show. They're supposed to follow him. I'm supposed to follow him. That's all they know. And that, to them, is the pinnacle of Bible doctrine. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The most important part of the Bible. They've been told that's their pattern their whole life. Then you come along, Johnny come lately, and Johnny come weird with some strange new thing I've never heard, and you tell them that their warm and fuzzy place is not where they're supposed to be for their doctrine. That's kind of off-putting, isn't it? Yeah. But what people particularly have a hard time with is God picking one man and investing all that position, all that authority, and an entire dispensation given to one guy, just a man. That's hard for them to wrap their mind around. Well, you could start with Bible verses that state that fact. You could start with Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Who's the you word?
Us.
Right. I mean, in the letter, it's particularly to the Ephesians, but it's to the church, the body of Christ. And if you're saved today, that's you. People are not comfortable with that. One guy sent by God with the authority and the position and the message for an entire dispensation. Now compare that with the warm and fuzzy. You've got actually the Savior walking around, talking to people, making Israel's healthcare system obsolete. He's healing everybody. He's fixing everybody's problems. He's putting dinner on the table for everybody. That's a lot more exciting to the average churchgoer, isn't it? And if they've been told this is your doctrine your whole life, again, you understand the resistance. This is why we're commanded over and over again by him, through his instructions, to be patient, long-suffering, over and over again. But you can see why it's a tough sell. Why it's a tough sell. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes.
That's all you've known your entire life.
Mm-hmm. So what do? Be ashamed and stop talking.
Right.
Well, I've been smashing into this tree in the same spot with this axe, and I can't get any more wood to come out of it. What's that? Well, you need to change the angle of your axe. You need to hit in a different way. That's what... What's the word? Loggers? Loggers do? When you're chopping a tree down, you can't keep hitting the same spot or the wood just becomes as hard as a rock. You've got to change your angle over and over again. What you do is you change your tack, and rather than going after their warm, fuzzy place, you try something different. You try something safe. It's kind of like when you show people the different diets through the Bible. You're not attacking them personally. You're not attacking the warm, fuzzy place. That's what you can do with teaching somebody this concept of God investing all this authority in one guy. And who do you do that with? Well, Mike mentioned it in his fine little booklet. Moses. People are comfortable talking about Moses. They've all seen the movie, too.
Let my people go.
Turn over to Run or Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Sorry, I can't help it. Deuteronomy chapter 4. While Paul is unique to us as the church, the body of Christ, he's our unique apostle. He had a unique message. He had a unique calling and commission from God. What is not unique is for God to do this. Because God did this with Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Well, that's pretty bold. For to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Whoa! You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a man that's been given position, authority, and a message, and a dispensation from God, and I'm the guy, you better listen to me. That's what that sounds like, so let's put that on the board here. And who is he talking to? It's right there in the verse. Mm-hmm. Old Testament Israel. God's done it before. Why are you so mad that he did it again? Do you see the concept we're trying to show? And we're talking about Moses. Nobody's fighting you over going to church on Saturday and killing a goat. You know, they know that's not them. So it's in a safe place to talk about it. and you're teaching them the concept. One guy sent by God with the instructions for an entire dispensation. Now, I think it's important to note, too, that that passage we read in Deuteronomy, what did Moses not say? He said, you listen to what I tell you, everything I speak to you. What did he not say?
Just follow the whole Bible. If you want to be vegans like Adam and Eve, that's fine. If you want to have anything you can catch and kill like Noah, that's fine. No, he said, these are your instructions, period. What I tell you. He's saying this dispensation God put in place supersedes that which came before.
It's important to note that concept. Specific, unique instructions from God given to one man for God's people to obey. Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Kind of like... Exactly. Ephesians chapter 3, he says the same thing. We just read a little bit of it. Moses says, you listen to what I tell you and you will be obeying the Lord. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Here, let's remind you, in case you forget, you're the body of Christ. That's you. How that by revelation he made unto me, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand whose knowledge? Paul's knowledge. Not Peter, not James, not John, not anybody else. My knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's the same concept that your friend or your family member will readily admit to seeing with Moses. Yeah, it's one guy. He's in charge. You want to know what God said? You got to ask him. He's the man. Same concept with Paul. It's not something that's new. You know, Moses was kind of a reluctant servant of God. Israel won't listen to me. What should I say to them? I don't even know your name. I can't speak very well. Can you have Aaron speak for me? It wasn't like he was saying, yeah, I've been looking for this my whole life. But when God called him out of the burning bush, he says, come now. This is at Exodus 3. You don't have to turn to it for time. But Exodus 3 says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee, one guy. You don't know that in your Bible, but probably says something like you. Send thee unto Pharaoh that thou, one guy, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God specifically called one guy. I nominate, we call it here, voluntelling. You don't ask for volunteers. I voluntell you. It's a closing prayer. But God did the same thing with Paul. Remember when Paul is on the road to Damascus, who art thou, Lord? I'm the one you're persecuting. Tell me what you'd like me to do. What was the Lord's reply to him? I will tell you what you must do. He says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, one guy, for this purpose to make thee, one guy, a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Just like Moses, Paul didn't get the download of the complete information on day one. God revealed it to him progressively, the same as he revealed to Moses progressively. This is a sound, solid Bible concept. You see it starting to come together. And we're doing it in a safe place. This is a way you can teach people. But God or Christ told Paul, I'm delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. One guy. Moses was sent. Paul was sent. They were both faithful too. That's another thing to note. Now we know Moses had some hiccups along the way, but God declares him faithful. Hebrews chapter 3:2 says Moses was faithful in all of his house. Well, that's the same thing Paul said at the end of his life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. So these are trustworthy people that God invested this position and authority and message and dispensation to. God made the right choice when he picked both of these men. He was right with Moses, he was right with Paul to give the position and the authority. Now at this point, you've shown the concept to your friend. Now you can actually take them back to the warm and fuzzy and get a point made for you. Look over at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 43. Jesus says a remarkable thing. Now Jesus heals the leper. And what does he tell him? He straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, what? Moses commanded. Jesus, the Word made flesh, tells him, go do what Moses said. Further confirming that Moses got his message from God, and he was right to have the position, authority, and the message in the whole law dispensation. Christ confirming it at the end of Israel's Old Testament. Go do what Moses said. He does it again in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 2. Pharisees come trying to start a fight with him. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him, trying to start a fight with Jesus? Jesus answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? What did Moses say about that?
I think Jesus is just making too much of Moses. Everything he says is Moses, Moses, Moses.
I say that for effect, but that's what our denominational friends do to us when we do the same thing with Paul.
I don't know why Jesus keeps talking about Moses all the time. You make too much of Moses.
No, he's following the doctrine God dispensed to Israel through Moses. It's a very simple thing. But what is Christ affirming here? He is affirming that unique position, authority, and message from Moses for entire dispensation was right. In other words, Jesus, in the red letters, is helping us make our point. Thank you, Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for different things. Thank you. So what about... You see, you can demonstrate this concept, and it's safe. But what about the... Yeah, it's right to follow Paul's doctrine, but it's right to follow all of them. I follow all of them. They're all the same. I follow all of them. What happened when somebody tried to take away the supremacy of the man God chose and follow everybody? In Moses' time. Let's have a look at that. The census book, the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers and chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 1. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1. Got some family issues going on here. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" What's another way to say that?
I think we're making too much of Moses. I think we should follow all of us. I think we're all the same. We should follow all of them. That's what they're saying.
"Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" Now watch this. And the Lord heard it. Dun, dun, dun! Now look at verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." Uh-oh. I mean, I've heard that some parents have children that give them problems. And I've heard at times, you have to call children out. "All three of you get down here right now." I've heard these things happen to other families. But can you imagine Almighty God booming out of heaven, "Three of you get out here right now. Soon as I change my pants." What was their issue here? They're mad about giving supremacy to Moses. They're saying, "Hey, we all got messages from God too. Why is this Moses such a big deal?" So God gives these people then in the coming verses a refresher course on the magnified office of Moses. And he says in verse 7, "My servant Moses is not so," "who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold." So Moses is the man. I talk to him face to face. If I'm talking to you people, you'll get a dream or a vision or something like that. Moses is my guy, face to face. And then what does God ask them? "Wherefore then, because of all that, why in the world were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" You should be afraid, is what God's saying. He's the guy. God has dispensed through him all these things for you. Straighten up and fly right. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. All they did was diminish. All they did was do what we're accused of doing with Paul. They failed to make too much of Moses, is what God was so angry with them about. "You make too much of Paul." No, I make the exact right amount of Paul. Because I've learned from this example, when God was working in this dispensation, it's right to make a big amount of the guy God's picked. "I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office," is what Paul says. Here's another example, quickly, in Numbers chapter 16. Anybody ever read about Korah? Korah, the son of Izhar. This may be one that you missed when you were reading the whole Bible through here. Look at what happens with this Korah. "Now Korah, the son of Izhar," and a bunch of other names I don't want to read, "took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Everybody goes to their churches, their denominations, the most popular in town."
They had the best programs.
Best programs. Most engaging youth ministry. That's what we're talking about here. What happens? "They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you." You're making too big a deal of your office and position. seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? You're making too much of God's man, is what they're being accused of. How'd it turn out for those guys? Fast forward to the end of the story. Moses gathers everybody together and says, hey folks, I'm going to do a proof. If all these men die a normal, natural death, then I didn't get my message from God. That's what he says to everybody. What happens next? The earth opens up her mouth and swallows all the men into the ground and they're dead. Point made. Good night.
Mic drop.
Yeah. The ultimate mic drop. But that's what, that's how serious God is when he picks a guy and says, this is your guy, follow him. In the Old Testament, he swallowed up people into the earth. He's dispensing grace today, so we don't see that. But what we're seeing is the concept is obeying God's man, and the message that God gave to the man is obeying God. Why am I Pauline? Because I want to be obedient to my Savior.
Amen.
I'm grateful he saved my miserable soul.
Hallelujah.
And I want to be faithful to his instructions to me, and he told me to follow Paul. That's why I'm doing it.
Amen.
Moses said, you know, he gives these instructions in Numbers and in Deuteronomy. But when Israel was obedient, they were listening to God. They were following God when they listened to Moses over and over again. You see it over and over again. What happens then after Moses is dead? Does the law dispensation end? It keeps going. Look at Joshua. Joshua, when I was a kid, we had a missionary that would visit twice a year. He was a missionary from Haiti, and he was a natural-born Haitian, so I think their common language is some kind of version of French. But he would stand there and say, children, turn to Joshua, chapter 2. I could listen to that guy talk all day. But Joshua 23, please. I'm just speaking normal American here. Joshua 23 and verse 6. Moses is dead. The man that was given the position, the authority, the message, the dispensation for Israel. What do we do now? According to Joshua. Verse 6. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefore from the right hand nor to the left. Joshua telling Israel, be Mosesine in your doctrine. Follow what Moses wrote. Kind of like what we're doing here this week in this Pauline church. Paul's dead a long time ago. What are we doing? The same thing Joshua did with Israel. Joshua told them, follow Moses, follow Moses. Jesus told them, follow Moses, follow Moses. What are we doing? Follow Paul. The same thing Christ told Paul to tell his people, and those people taught down through the centuries, that's all we're doing. We're continuing following God's man and message as he dispensed it to us through him.
Amen.
It's a sound Bible concept that repeats. It's something that can be studied out and learned and solidified to build you up and equip you that, yes, it's right to do this. Yes, this doctrine's right. Yes, this is really what God has done. And I'm right to be proud of it and to teach it to other people proudly. Be not ashamed. Was Joshua ashamed when he stood up there and says, you people courageously follow everything written in the book of the law of Moses? He wasn't ashamed, was he? Well, we shouldn't be either. Be thou therefore not ashamed of the message of the Lord, nor his prisoner Paul. Continue thou in the afflictions of the gospel. Preach that message. Teach that doctrine because it's right. And it's what God has dispensed to the world today. It's the same thing. Howbeit, 1 Timothy 1:16, and I'll have to be done here. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Paul's the me first. What else? For a pattern. For a pattern which to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Guess what? If you're alive today, you're in the hereafter believing on him part of the people. 1 Timothy 1:16. That's what we're doing here last week. That's what we're doing here this week. And that's what we'll do here next week. And as soon as you people don't like it, you can throw me out of my ear, but that's what I'll keep doing every week I am here. Continuing the pattern. Following God's man and message, in whom he placed the position, the authority, and the doctrine, and the dispensation for us. That is all I have for you today. Let's close in prayer so I and the stewards can leave, and you people can stay as long as you want.